everybody. Thank you so much for listening to the Cooligans. In the first segment, we talk about Manchester City at Arsenal. It's a 1-1 draw, but does it feel like a point lost? Or does 2 points lost? Or does it feel like a point gained?
Also, we're in Kansas City. Our voices sound a little hoarse. We were speaking and screaming for about 24 hours collectively in Kansas City for the Premier League Fan Fest. We talk all about it, tell all the stories. And also, we went to Kansas City current game and got to see them lift the NWSL Shield presented by CarMax. All this and more today on The Cooligans.
Real quick, first of all, we're in Kansas City.
We are in Kansas City.
We're having a good time. We're sharing a camera for the first time since we were poor. Remember that? it's been a long time. But we're in a room. We have our own separate rooms. We reached that level, but we only brought one camera, so we're splitting. But for those of you, I mean, you're listening to this part anyway, you can't see this, but I want to give you an update on the story I told in the last intro about my buddy who didn't drive me home.
Okay, yeah. Has this relationship been repaired?
There's when someone gets like an injury and it's like, all right, we know it's not going to heal 100%, but we're fine. We'll just move forward.
Yeah.
That's kind of where we're at, because I let him know that 95%, a number I completely made up, of our fan base sided with me. And frankly, I took that from the DMs that I got of people saying like, yo, that dude's a monster. That's not your friend.
So confirmation bias.
Yeah, 100%. But no one messaged me and was like, yo, I think you're thinking about this wrong. It was just a bunch of people going like, how could that person be considered your friend still?
Sure, sure.
He didn't drive you home. 14 minutes.
It's like when people cheer at a Trump rally and then he thinks he has good ideas.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Wait a minute. I don't like who I am in this scenario. But I let him know that. And then we were at a place where it's like a mutual friend of ours.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a group of people that we were at his workplace, and there was a bunch of people that worked there. And I relayed the story again.
Okay.
And then in front of this man, he saw that no one had his side. And what he chose to do instead of saying, you know what, I see the error in my ways, what he did was double down and go, how dare you tell people I did this? So now he's mad at me. And this is further proof that I think this is universal. Or am I just be me? I think what we do as men who are married, so this may just only be for heterosexual males, it could be for others if you're gay or if you're a lesbian, let me know, okay, if this also works for you. I think what we do is we surround ourselves with friends who are carbon copies of our significant others.
Okay, yeah, well, yeah, that's the person you're around the most.
Like, am I a Helene? You can Donna. You Donna sometimes.
Okay, that makes sense. No, you are not a Helene by any stretch of the
imagination. I don't know what you're talking about. Helene doesn't go like, let's get more chicken fingers.
Another round of chicken fingers, sir, for me and the baby.
Your finest vintage of chicken fingers.
No, she is not that. I'm trying to think of like where are the similarities.
Oh, do we have any?
Actually, before
our circles overlap at all.
But this is what I will say about your friend talking about that he was doubling down and being upset about why you are bringing this up and talking to other people. I've also been in this exact scenario.
Again, I surround myself with.
If
Thomas.
We all remember. Burrito Gate. This was the exact issue. When Alexis brought this up, he mentioned it.
My wife snitched on me.
His wife brought it up to me as we.
I go to the bathroom.
And she asked me about burritos, how I eat burritos. And the first thing I said was like, why is he talking to his wife about this? Is this a topic worth discussion? Apparently.
You just don't know how my wife and I foreplay.
Yeah, yeah. This is how they bond. This is how I was apparently a kink in their relationship for some reason.
Oh, yeah.
No, just their shared hatred about how I ate a burrito one time that was falling apart.
I would like to say that was the last time you ate a burrito that way, because you were appropriately shamed.
Okay, so, yeah. I mean, look, if... Do you end up, I mean, some people would say, you're asking questions, do you hang out with people that are similar to your partner? The way I eat a burrito suggests that I am not
similar to your partner. So
I think that's one.
That's why
there's
other
examples where I'm like, so it's just it's so much easier. I get to just sleep with my wife and take it out on her that way.
Okay, what a gross. You know what thing I mean?
She has to sleep with me as like a punishment in a way.
Well, this whole podcast is ruined. For whatever reason.
First of all, she lets me sleep. Let's go. I never thought I'd have to clarify that. But here we are.
All right. Well, like we said, this is after what? How many hours?
We're both pretty sleep deprived.
Sleep deprived. We've been screaming into microphones for 2 days straight in Kansas City at the Premier League Fan Fest, and we've had an incredible time. And we'll talk about it all later during the show. Mm. But right now, we just have to make sure we get our voices get through to the end of the show. So with that said, let's.
In fact, every time I do this, hit the mirror button, Carter.
Okay. Yeah, we don't. We're not gonna make the noise. So that's Carter's producer, Carter's cue. Also, before we get started, I just thought this was funny. This was from one of our. I don't know if she's in our Patreon, but tweeted at us. I think it's Soy Shaguna.
Okay.
On
I've actually recommended pizza places to her when she's coming. Okay. She's great.
And I don't know if she's South Asian or not. I think so because one of her tweets to us was, "Carter, producer Carter's brown." That's it.
Yeah. Let me hear it. I hope she's South.
I hope she's South. That with the context would make because the tweet.
If it wasn't Soy Shaguna or if it was like William Hartsfield, I'd be like, "You ain't allowed to say
you
that."
You can't ask that
Mr.
question,
Mr. Hartsfield.
Don't be putting exclamation points in there.
Yeah. And don't be putting, better not be in the next tweet.
So, yes, Carter is a lovely and beautiful brown man.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm not sure what Soy is, but I know she's, I thought she was Latina at first.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. We're not going to presume, but.
You know what? Write down what you think. And I'll write down and drink, and then we'll ask her.
Racist. We'll ask with question marks and exclamation points. We'll throw in a couple pound signs
in there. We're just going to enjoy ourselves doing that. And I don't know, whatever you choose. Whatever you was raised and born at, that's what you are.
But we appreciate the support. Yeah. And the questions, you know? All right.
Questions.
So.
We can confirm Carter's brown.
Okay. We are just a bunch of brown guys. Doing brown guy stuff.
Yeah. One of us lighter than the other.
That's all. All right. So with that said, welcome to the Cooligans, everybody. My name is Christian Polanco.
Hey, I'm Alexis Guerrero.
Like I said earlier, we are in Kansas City right after the Premier League Fan Fest. We are recording this just a couple hours after we wrapped the Manchester City Arsenal and hanging out with the two Robbies, Tim Howard, Rebecca Lowe, and thousands of fans.
So. Day two of the No Sleep Fest.
So this is the energy. The energy of this show is going to be a little bit different than you're probably used to.
When we say we're sleep deprived, we are absolutely not kidding.
Exactly.
But the energy that this city has given us has been absolutely incredible.
Yeah. Lots of Cooligans fans in the crowd screaming it as we're doing the show. So the Fan Fest has been fantastic. So,
so good.
This episode is going to be a lot of Premier League because our lives have been consumed by the Premier League this weekend. But we did get an opportunity to go to the Kansas City Current game to watch them lift the NWSL Shield, which is also a really cool thing. And we'll talk about that later as well. But let's start today with the game of the week. Manchester City against Arsenal at home, draw 1-1. So that is why it is our top topic. Does this feel like a point gained or 2 points lost for the Gunners? And we were around all the Arsenal fans. You were celebrating really, after Haaland gave up that goal. It was a little bit of a bummer, but when he scored the goal, but once Martinelli, of all people,
I mean, I've talked glowingly about him for years.
Literally every single week, I'm just like, Alexis, can you stop
the glazing?
The Martinelli glazing,
bro. Honestly, you thought I was one of the owners of Manchester United because I was a glazer, bro. Here's what I'll say. When it comes to this question, the way I answer it is, what were the feelings felt when the final whistle blew?
Were you sad and you feel like, damn, we had a chance there and we let it go? Or are you happy that, like, you didn't get us? And Arsenal were in that second category. Arsenal fans were jubilant at the end of this match because they were the ones who stole back, you know, that point. You know what I mean? We came back. And to do it again with the subs, Mikel Arteta. And we could talk about whether the lineup options are right or whether the subs came early or late enough. But at the end of the day, the subs come in and they're impactful. And that's clearly the reason they went out and got the depth that they went ahead and got.
It's almost as if the substitutes could instead start the game and be on the field when the whistle blows, and maybe they can impact the game sooner.
Now, where are you coming up with these crazy ideas?
Okay. I mean, I don't want to tell Mikel Arteta how to do his job.
Mickey, baby, a quick idea we came up with. We were brainstorming.
I don't know. It just seems that the ammunition that you have in the holster, you're not really, why don't you just use it a little bit sooner?
He's like, you had a cannon this whole time? What are you doing the pew-pews for? But here's the thing. Do you think Martinelli is as impactful? Do you think Martinelli feels the pressure to make that run or to be as impactful as he has been last two matches if he's starting? It's a different way of playing Martinelli if he's starting.
Sure. I mean, Martinelli has been the basically lockdown starter for what, 2-3 years?
Yeah, and some would say that his effectiveness has been slipping for the last 2 years.
Right, because I know you've been just speaking glowingly. So about it. You usually say positive things.
It may have been one or two moments of transgressions.
There might be a couple moments where you slipped up and you criticized a little too harshly.
I Stevie G'd a little.
And you would say that, get him out of my club. And you would say things like he doesn't take on a player's 1v1. So I don't want to tell him how to do his job, but this is a, when you see, and it feels like Arteta's is tinkering a little bit, thinking too much about Champions League, just not, I could see the last few years, and like I said this last year, I think if Martin Odegaard didn't get injured early in the season, last season, I think Arsenal are much closer to winning that title and have a real shot and put in a real challenge against Liverpool.
Out of the 3 years where they finished second, injuries is what stopped them from being first.
And I think this is what he's worried about. He's playing a little bit safe, not especially after a Champions League midweek match. Let me turn over the roster a little bit. But then it's like, you see the players that they have, you see who they signed, and then you see the starting lineup with Trossard on the left wing. Bro, is that what we need right now? Are we doing the same old Arsenal or are we trying something different? Are we going to take some different risks?
Do you remember a pitcher by the name of Greg Maddux?
Of course.
All right. So there's a story about Greg Maddux where he was going up against, I believe it was the Seattle Mariners. It was the Atlanta Braves pitcher. He was going up against the Seattle Mariners.
Mm-hmm.
About 3/4 of the way through the season, both teams are doing incredibly well. Greg Maddux at the time is the best pitcher in all of baseball. So he called his own shots and he calls for a fastball inside.
Yeah.
And the catcher's like, give me a break. You know, everybody cut.
Yeah, yeah.
Walks up to him. He's like, dude, what are you doing? That's his favorite hit. He goes, I'm going to throw it as hard as I can. He goes, yeah, but he's going to hit a home run. We're going to lose this game. He goes, yeah, but we are already in the playoffs and they're already in the playoffs and they're really good and we're probably going to have to face them in the playoffs. So it wasn't Seattle Mariners, someone on the East Coast, maybe the Tampa Bay Rays.
Yeah, yeah.
He goes, we're going to face them in the playoffs. And if we ever get down to 3-2, he's now going to expect a fastball inside and that's where we're going to get him. Throws the fastball inside, hits a home run. Come to the playoffs, 3-2, bases loaded. He hits him with the changeup on the outside, swings and misses. They win that game and move on to the next round of the playoffs. Mm-hmm. So I think that's what Mikel Arteta is doing. For those of you who don't follow baseball, I apologize for that scenario. I think what he's doing is kind of overthinking it. I think he's thinking no one knows what to expect. Remember how progressive and advanced and attacking they were when he started.
Yeah.
And then they start becoming more defensive and then they become set piece FC and everyone's calling him Tony Pulis, right? And now he's also kind of overthinking it. He's trying to do the opposite of what people are expecting him to do in a way where it even confuses us, the fans.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what's happening now. So give him a chance to figure out what to do with all this depth, how best to use it. But also, Leandro Trossard is an incredible player. I kind of agree with you. Is he the first name I would notch down thinking about, oh, I'm about to go against City, the team that's essentially been our biggest rival these last few years? No. And no.
I get right. Especially at that position. I for whatever reason, I feel like Trossard is a better midfielder or better wide midfielder.
Nah, they have him for the play in the wing.
But I get it. I mean, it just it just feels – and it's also, again, Manchester City didn't play some weak lineup or whatever. Like, that's the frustrating thing. Even as, like, a neutral, I want to see the two best teams face each other.
Yeah.
All the best players.
The best 11 of each other's squads.
Especially these two specific teams. So maybe that's, like, a little bit selfish and not, obviously not thinking about the midweek matches and maybe there's fatigue and all this other stuff. I don't care about fatigue, yeah. Right, bro? Just, like...
I don't even know fatigue, bro. She didn't go to my high school, so I can't, tell you what she's up to, bro. I'll say this, like, I get it. If you're a Manchester City fan and you're going up against Arsenal and you want to beat Arsenal, mm-hmm. You see, like, an Oscar Bob on that started line. If you're thinking to yourself, like, oh, we ain't even that serious.
But
Man's got two first names.
And
one of them's a nickname.
Why you got two B's in Bob, bro?
Oh, yeah. Oh, why you got a nickname as a last name? That's the most professional name.
Also, why are you Dutch?
It don't make no sense.
And name Bob. It just makes no sense. I don't get it.
Is it Bob? Explain to me what your last name is, because I never heard Dutch
learn. I'm here to learn.
Look, I'm open. My eyes and my ears are open. I'm willing to learn and unlearn some things.
So, so that's kind of frustrating to see even before a ball is kicked. And the goal that they gave up, and this is what tends to happen to any kind of, like, good team. It's just a scramble. It's kind of crazy. And then
you've got three City players. If you're Saliba and you're Gabriel, what are you supposed to do?
Yeah,
you
know? There's a little bit of, like, especially with the we've already seen the history between Gabriel Magalhães and Erling Haaland and throwing the ball at his head and all the jawing back and forth and all that stuff. So I felt like Magalhães lost this battle a little bit.
Well, this was Saliba, actually.
No, because Gabriel went, he went deep into the midfield.
Oh, to try to stop.
To try to stop Haaland.
Erling Haaland just laid it off.
Try to stop Haaland before he could connect that and build up a play.
Yeah, this is a big part of Arsenal's game plan, is to keep that high line by counter-pressing, and Erling Haaland just saw it coming.
Exactly. And just the ball he laid off to, I think it was Oscar Robb, and then he just has a clear run. And then
I thought it was Bernardo.
No, in the midfield. It was Oscar Bob or Reinders. I don't remember who exactly. Who got the assist? That's
probably Reinders.
Because we can see it. But he makes that run into the pitch. And that's the thing, is that Gabriel put like a body on Erling Haaland.
Yeah, but you didn't feel it? That's like a mosquito landing on my shoulder.
And then he turns around and he's running so unbelievably fast that it makes no sense.
Bro.
It just, the strides that he makes are just like, how when a tall person walks next to a short person.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, like, the short person is, like, panting and they can't breathe. They're like, why are you running? And it's like, I'm just walking at no pace. Early Allen.
Slow down.
But, yeah, this was a
he did get the assist.
Ryan just got the assist. Yeah, okay. So, yeah, man, that was it was impressive, but that's where I feel like Gabriel lost this battle, because he sort of bit more than he could chew. He was like, "Oh, I'm gonna go put a body on him," and then he's like, "When you look at how the play built out for Man City, it's just like Gabriel looks silly. Like, why are you so far? Even if you just did not make that go to put a body on him, basically inside their own half, right?
Yeah.
And that says a lot about Erling Haaland as well.
Look, no, at that speed is crazy.
The speed, but it's like, look at where Erling Haaland is playing to be able to influence the other end of the pitch.
Yeah,
and that's how quickly he can get back. So
the speed that he takes off on this, like, robotic style run. Honestly, the type of run you used to see a lot more when he was at Dortmund, but he did it here today.
Yeah, it's the T-1000 run.
Yeah. Exactly.
You know the T-1000.
I had that calculator at school.
It's a lovely calculator.
Yeah.
Also dangerous, too.
Very dangerous. Yo, why is this calculator got a man bun, dog? But
the Terminator. But yeah,
he's running in this like gait that you don't see humans run very often.
Exactly, exactly.
And he takes off in a pace. But it also his run is so smart to know the defender has to keep up at the high speed.
Yeah.
Because if they slow down, they know they're dead in the water. So if I slow down a little bit, they're going to coast past me and I'm not going to be offside. And it was just a beautiful, beautifully timed pass, beautifully timed shot. Goes right across Raya. So Raya can't really stop it. And as far as I'm concerned, that's a very Manchester City. It's a very emblematic goal of Manchester City, the way they want to play. Now cut to the goal that Martinelli scored. This is a goal from another match.
Sure.
You know, I mean, that was not... I mean, there was much more momentum kind of in Arsenal's corner at that time, but it felt like it came against the run of play in a way. I mean, Eze with a ball. You just don't see. And, yo, can we just give Mikel Arteta and Pep Guardiola also a little bit of an applause? These plan-everything tacticians are allowing players that have, like, these exceptional ball skills to be like, look... Here's the plan, but if you got a good idea out there, let me see you cook.
You could throw a miracle ball here and there.
Look,
and I'll be fine with it.
I'm gonna tell you the ABC, but if you want to zip zap zop while you out there, buddy, improvise.
The frustrating thing I think for Arsenal fans is like the players that come into the game are the ones that impact the game and score the goal. So, look, at home, Arsenal are a strong team, and I think they've gotten stronger over the last couple of years, especially against a team like Manchester City, which in 3-4 years ago, they're terrified. They're nervous. Maybe they don't win the possession battle. Yeah. Maybe they're just like...
Dude, I was at the Etihad when they absolutely pumped Arsenal.
Sure.
So I remember those days of thinking, man, we'll just never be able to...
Look, I mean, when you look at the stats, 67% possession over 33.
Who won the XG battle?
Arsenal. 12 total shots. Both had 3 on target. Man City had two big chances versus one. And 5... This is... I mean, look at this... This should be backwards, right? This is what we used to... Accurate passes. Arsenal, 516. Manchester City, 225.
We made Manchester City bunker ball, bro.
Did they play Burnley?
Yeah. Damn. Yo, Grimsby had a good... No, it's Manchester City.
City. Okay, yeah. I forgot. Wow.
That's interesting. I didn't see that. I agree with you. I was looking at the stats after and I showed you the possession.
Yeah.
And I know Arsenal had most of the possession, but it also didn't feel like it because Manchester City felt a little bit more goal dangerous, especially after that goal in the first half. So looking at the stats back now, I'm like, come on now.
Yeah.
This is pretty impressive.
Yeah. So there's some positive there. But the big issue with Arsenal and Man City is that Liverpool can't stop winning.
No, it's everybody else. There's like 4 or 5 teams with 10 points, and then Liverpool here with 15.
A 5-point lead already, and it's just crazy. It's the 5th game of the season.
Do they keep getting away with this, bro?
You
could have helped them.
Everson tried. They tried their best.
You played pretty well, actually.
So,
isn't it crazy? I know we're not supposed to talk about Everton, but I just keep saying this. It feels like of all the things you needed, Jack Grealish was like the perfect piece.
Sure. I mean,
isn't it crazy? Like literally the player you need.
What I say, perfect is not the word.
He's an attacking winger who can carry the ball by himself, make space for everyone else, which clearly is needed, especially with players like Idrissa Gana Gueye. He's an outlet for Idrissa Gana Gueye. That's not much of a gamble like Beto, but also he has the star power that you need for a new stadium. Yeah. I can't really see a flaw.
He plays with a confidence that Everton are not used to.
He's a maverick.
Having. And then and we saw it even against Liverpool, the thing that and clearly the Arne Slot's like a strategy put 2 guys on Grealish, and every time he had the ball out in the on the wing, 2 players were on him, which is when's the last time any 2 players marked any Everton player?
It used to be like, hey, when Everton gets the ball, just sit back. They're going to give it back to you anyway.
Just chill. You won't have to do too much.
Relax. That's a nice little break for you.
So it's a, this is the biggest issue for Arsenal. Who is going to step up and hit the brakes on what Liverpool are doing?
What I will say, if I know that, Ryan Cherki's injured at the moment, and it's not like Manchester City are perfect, but they do feel like a finalized team, right? You kind of know what you're getting. Maybe Rangers can fit in the team a little bit more, but for the most part, you kind of understand what you're getting from them. Arsenal still feel like, oh, when all of our players are in good health, right? They still don't have Odegaard back, which is, again, their best attacking midfielder for a very long time. When Arsenal are at their absolute best, like what you want to see, your best 11, it feels to me like Arsenal would be much, much more better equipped to be able to take this game to Manchester City and be much more effective in front of goal than they were this time. And I think the signs are pointing to Arsenal not just being as good as Manchester City, but not having to have any fear whatsoever walking in.
Yeah, I think, this is where I think Pep Guardiola is the manager he is and why he does so well tactically, and or he has the resume, but I think his style of play lends itself well to protecting the player's health and their and like injuries that like for Man City they do have injuries. It's not like
it doesn't happen. Rodri was out for an entire season,
right? But in general, this is why they can like get through seasons and win as many titles as they have consistently and year after year.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's it's not to say that, you know, Man City players don't play as hard or blah, blah, blah. It's like, it's just a very possession-based game.
Mm-hmm.
Not really a lot. It maybe some people might find it boring and players pass it back for you. De Bruyne,
just hoof it, mate. just dribble it somebody,
and,
mate.
You know, it isn't, Arsenal don't play that way, but whatever. But that style of play, I just think it's like, this is why they can sustain themselves throughout a season because they're not losing players. Where, like, again, that's
not easy to win a treble.
Exactly. Yeah. You have, there's something intentional that you are doing.
You have to be able to keep your best players fit.
Exactly. And then see Odegaard getting, I mean, again, you also can't account for like he got injured on international duty and stuff like that. But the injury that he did have.
For segment two, should we get rid of international? Here we
go. Though that, like, the injury that Odegaard did get was like from, I forgot what was the ball. Sort of three players crashing into each other.
Yeah, shoulder.
I think the Timber.
Yeah, trying his to own get the player ball. Knocked him sideways stuff and like lands on like, his shoulder.
It's just for whatever reason, dumb stuff like that don't be happening to Man City. Outside of like Haaland and his like foot, he has like some foot issue from time to time or ankle.
I never wanted to see someone's foot less.
No, man. They held him to one goal. The moment though, because obviously a lot of people watched that Martinelli goal, but we are on stage in Kansas City for the on the Fan Fest. I mean, it was really
it was a full release.
And Kansas City, I would say day one, Chelsea probably the loudest, and then day two, Arsenal for sure.
Without a doubt.
And the fascinating.
Shouts to Kansas City Gunners. Shouts to Arsenal America, who really brought everybody they know out. Everybody named Mama. Anyone who's ever owned an Arsenal shirt was there.
It was dope. And even just experiencing that moment, if you go on our Instagram and stuff, and you've probably seen it on Premier League or NBC or something like that. We're on stage there. Everybody's screaming. We're probably playing it right now.
I want to give you a little credit because we were side stage.
Yeah.
And you were like, get up there. And I was like, oh yeah, I'm alive to celebrate this with my peoples.
So it was a dope moment to experience, just like when Idris Gueye scored that goal. Like that was just a really dope thing to experience. I think we were in classic football shirts.
You ran out.
Yeah, I ran
out. And he never came back. I thought it was like, I'm sure he's coming back.
No, but it was a really, really dope weekend and a great experience just having those specific moments, because we all remember certain goals and moments like that, but like that's a very vivid.
Yeah.
How many people were even there? I mean, there was, I feel like
at that moment that felt something like around the 5,000 to 6,000.
Yeah. I mean, this Fan Fest, the place itself, Kansas City Power and Light District, it was like a little narrower.
Yeah.
Than like the wider spaces, like Nashville was, tremendous. It was just so many people. But this was like a little bit more chill, and like the people could be there was like a big sky bridge.
There's a sky bridge. There was like second level. It felt like you were inside of an arena while being outside.
Yeah. Incredible
moment.
Yeah. So I mean, Martinelli.
Well, me and all my best friends in Kansas.
Well, we're in Missouri right now, but yeah, this was
City. You didn't let me finish.
Yeah, my bad. I didn't mean to cut you off, even though I gave you like 4 seconds.
I'll build a tension, you know. Duh. Aren't you a comedian, Doug?
So yeah.
Missouri, Kansas City, Missouri. See how I put it all together?
It was fantastic. So we are, all right, let's take a quick break because we have to talk about some of the other Premier League matches. There were a lot of crazy results and a lot of crazier fans.
Oh my God, the fans were wild.
So we'll talk about that right after this.
Welcome back to the Cooligans. Let's talk a little bit about FanFest because this has been absolutely incredible. By the way, the loudest, we've been at four. We've hosted the four. This was by far the loudest FanFest we've ever been a part of. I mean, the Chelsea fans, the Manchester United fans, the Arsenal fans, the City fans. City fans absolutely tried to hold their own.
Arsenal had the most.
But this was one of those, FanFests. It was cool to be back. You know, I haven't done one of these in 2 years for obvious reasons.
Yeah. Just tell people why you can.
I mean, they know. I'm not going to have But obviously, you know, contracts are different now, so I can do whatever I want. So it doesn't matter what network I work with. So it was so cool to be back. And let me tell you something. There's something about these fan fests that you kind of forget what football means to people and what the community of football means to people. Just seeing all these groups come together and hold their banners up and make signs and, you know, people holding their babies up. I kept telling people to give their babies to Rebecca Lowe. People were like, we should give our baby to Rebecca Lowe.
The baby with adoption papers.
No, we meant to hold.
That's a bit much.
Yeah. It's such a cool community thing. And you and I have this cool niche we've created for ourselves where we get to make fun of people's favorite teams to their face, and they laugh and give us thumbs up and point at us and say, that was a good one.
I mean, we make fun of their favorite teams. We make fun of our favorite teams.
Of our own. Everybody gets it.
Yeah. I think that's an exciting thing. I think that's why we keep getting asked back. And I think there's a little bit of, you know, I look into the crowd and I sort of see myself as well. Like I'm watching the two Robbies, Tim Howard and Rebecca Lowe, and I'm like, I wake up with them every day.
I look at Rebecca Lowe and I see myself. Right? Yeah, I'm like, that's how I look.
What's good, twin?
It's like looking in a mirror, right? Right?
You agree, Rebecca Lowe?
Why are you calling security?
No, man, there's a feeling of we're on stage, but we're like, I mean, you know, I know I can speak for you as well. Like, we have that respect and reverence for what they do, especially when the first fan fest that we did and we saw like how early they got up, there's nothing about the show that is just like, hey, just wake up and just, you know, chat shit about footy. You don't even understand the level of preparation before matches. They have all these damn papers. I'm like, Rebecca, what are all these papers?
I kind of understand a little bit from the CBS gig, right? And it was like having to have like notable information and the comfort to bring it up. But what they do is so much more surgical.
Yeah,
it's not a conversation. You have to get like within the second to break to the next thing.
Yeah, and then on top of that, there's not a stumble. Nobody has like a little bit of like, I don't know exactly what to say right in this moment. They go for like 4 or 5 hours, nailing it all the time.
And they know like, oh, Christian's going to talk now. And then it comes back to me. I Danford knew us.
And they're also up at like 3 a.m. To prep for the show.
And they're all so good looking. It's honestly a little offensive.
Like, yo, chill out with all that.
One of you just get a little pout. Just a little belly.
Who's going to be the first one to let go?
Robbie Hurl, why you got abs? I met your lady. You happy, bro?
Robbie Hurl is like 72 in like a 39-year-old body.
He
is not 72. But he's not 72.
But he is very, he also might be in a 29-year-old body.
He looks fantastic.
That's so good.
So, look, if people are not aware, obviously, if you didn't watch this weekend, obviously, you know, we do all the fan, they do the fan fest in all the different cities, but started Saturday, obviously into Sunday, we're up at like essentially 4 a.m.
And this is a logistical nightmare.
Yeah, so we have to be up really early to do sound check, and the doors open at 5 a.m. At 5 a.m. Central, and then that's when we go to work, and we're on microphone, we're interacting with everybody, we're telling everybody where to go, what to do, what's available at the fan fest, where to go to the shop at the store, where to get the fan fest jersey.
Right, but what separates us from anyone you could hire to be like, read this list of activations, where to go, is that our job is to be personable with the audience, build that rapport, get people laughing, having a good time. Like the host of a really good comedy show, the audience should be happy that you're coming up and who you're going to bring us next. You know, what another great comedian are you going to present for us? And that you have to be the one that they love and they have a good time with. So we feel that pressure of having to do that. And this is exactly what it was, man. It was such a good time.
And we just, and instead of us bringing up another comic, we're bringing up the two Robbies.
Right, the two Robbies. They got no bits.
They got the very
maps. And that seems to go along.
So, I mean, it was nothing but incredibly fun. It's always an honor to do it. It's every time, like, we're on stage and, like, Robbie's, like, shaking our hands with Tim Howard. Also, handshaking. I mean, handshakes are a big thing out in the Premier League.
Imagine you went to shake someone's hand and then, like, a large pillow smacked you across your body. That's Tim Howard's hands.
I mean, pillow is not even, no.
No, it's very hard, but like I'm trying to think of something
like
that has
one of those
shape.
Really flat pillows.
Or you know what? You know, like a hockey goalkeeper's mitt hits you in the hand. You're like, where did the rest of that thing come from?
I would say, I don't know if you would agree, but the most aggressive, strong handshake that I received this weekend was from Bournemouth legend Steve Fletcher.
Steve
Fletcher.
Are you trying to beat me in a negotiation for a house?
It's the Trump, how he pulled Putin in. You know what I mean? Like, why are you so strong and aggressive about this?
And then he's looking you in the eye. He has a very intense face, but he's complimenting you. But if someone was filming it from far away, it would look like he does not want you dating his daughter.
Why is he yelling at his child?
He's a large, aggressive Brit.
And Steve Fletcher was a striker for Bournemouth for years. Mm-hmm. So he's the ambassador. I believe he's on the assistant coaching staff as well for the team. But yeah, and he had a bunch of great stories and hopefully he'll do the show at some point.
We're talking to him.
Yeah, he was awesome. But everyone, we hung out with obviously the OGs, Alan Shearer.
Got to watch a game with Alan Shearer and
Jermaine Defoe.
And by the way, the feed they gave us was the one without the announcers. So they just took over announcing the game. But the way Jermaine Defoe and Alan Shearer announce a game is they criticize the strikers and each of them criticize them differently. And here's a big shock. They each want those strikers to be like them. So Alan Shearer's like, no, man, he should have played off the shoulder and done this and that. And Jermaine Defoe's like, no, get in behind and to this. And I'm like, oh, each of you want them to be you.
Yeah. There's different ways to play the same position.
I was like, you know what you could do? And they looked at me like, this is not your moment. You know,
not right now.
Back
dog.
To the breakfast burritos for you, like, funny man.
Two surgeons having a conversation about doing operation. Yeah. It's like
the janitor's like, yo, you thought about that? No, back to sweeping up.
Moments like that are just really cool. And I think we notice it more because we're effectively like the bridge between the cast and everybody that's on the broadcast and the fans themselves. So, I mean, how many times did you get stopped and being like, yo, can you tell Jermaine Defoe to come by? I just need to.
One guy said to me, he goes, is Alan Shearer still here? And I said, yeah, I think so. He goes, all right, tell me what room he's in. I want to tell him what this goal meant to me. Like, I literally said to him, in front of his friends and his family, they were all like, please don't ask Alexis this. And I had to tell him, like, under no circumstances am I allowed to do that.
It was a guy, with all due respect, I'm sure he's a great guy and does incredible work. He was talking about building mini pitches or like all over the world and stuff.
Oh, this is beautiful.
Like charity work. But he was like, can you get me in touch with Tim Howard? Like, is he gonna have the time to speak to people? I'm like, I don't know. Time.
Yeah, I don't think Tim Howard, I don't think NBC sets aside Shark Tank moments.
I don't know.
You know what I mean? You're not gonna be able to get in front of these four to pitch your mini pitch idea.
I mean, I'm sure you do amazing. A solid DM might be the best way to reach.
It's like asking, get the script in the hands of Rebecca Rye.
I need to get this project made.
I'm struggling here.
This is my last, Fan Fest was my last opportunity.
Right? The movie is called Killer Cheerleader. Probably Rebecca is going to enjoy it, but I need to get this thing made, man. I've lost my house.
Okay. My wife doesn't believe in me.
So, yeah, there was a lot of that. And it's just so fun and funny. Like, because to them, they're like these legends that are untouchable.
Yeah.
And we're just two doofuses on microphones.
So they come down and be like, these doofuses will help us connect to these legends.
This is going to be my bridge. It's going to be my end.
Uh-huh.
But, yeah, it's, I mean, yeah. And the cool thing this time around, I think, because Kansas City was so like electric, and the fan fest itself is, I think this is the first one we've done that's been enclosed.
Yeah.
So it's not necessarily, there's definitely like, it's not totally enclosed. There's like a canopy type of
it's
thing.
It's like an outdoor space with a canopy, kind of like in Vegas. If you go to like, yeah, that, what is that? Like the strip.
Yeah. Yeah. So if you saw the broadcast, there were like drone shots that you could see of this. So this similar to like, you know, a lot of MLS stadiums, a lot of stadiums in general, where the sound, Dortmund has this, right? Where the ceilings are sort of angled down. So the sound kind of stays in.
Yeah.
And this was, bro, I mean, sometimes some of the matches when it got loud.
It was deafening. It was like it added to the excitement in such a big way.
Yeah. So that part of it made it so much more like you just sort of felt the moment a little bit more. So that's why I applaud the fans that came there, because there were people there that were there since 4 a.m. or lined up at 2 a.m. And were there just with the same amount of time that we were. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because that Saturday was legit roughly 12 to 13 hours that we were on stage. So,
yeah.
So shouts to...
We're struggling right now.
So shouts to you guys. So, yeah, all of it was great. And we got a lot of good feedback as well. So that
was... I was like, stop complimenting.
Yeah, no, it felt good just to... No, more than anything, it's like, you know, all these legends and all these players coming in, and you see everybody stopping up for selfies and autographs and all this other thing. But people were coming up to us like, thank you for this. Like, there was one guy that said, like, if you guys weren't here, I don't even know what this would have been like. I don't even know if this would have been.
I got to tell you, one guy's like, you have no idea how big a fan of you I am. And he's wearing a Tottenham shirt.
Ah, and man, I go, that says a lot.
Bro, that's got to be hard for you. He's like, you have no idea how hard it is.
Those are always the best fans to earn.
He's like, dude, I want to hate you so bad, but I'm such a big fan of yours. I think you're so funny, and yo, all you do is make fun of my team, and yet I still love you. So it's really cool, man. Thank you for everyone who stopped.
So shout out to that. Thank you, everybody. Who said hello or gave us a nice shout. And shout out to everybody at NBC and Premier League, Peacock, everybody, whole staff, the crew.
Shout out to Robbie Earl, Robbie Musto, Robbie Howard, and Robbie Blow. You guys are the best.
The four.
Those are good names. Right,
we're friends. We remember names, bro.
We're like on a first name basis with all four Robbies,
all the Robbies. That's the best part. We gotta remember cool names.
I say Robbie, they know what I'm talking about. Sometimes Robbie Lowe turns around and go, he's talking to me.
Yeah, that's how we thought. That's accent.
That's our accent, bro.
So shout out to everybody. All right. Go on our socials and stuff like that. We have a lot of great videos and photos and stuff like that from the weekend. But let's talk about a little bit about some of the other matches in the Premier League.
Let's talk about Manchester United Chelsea, because
this is a drama I need in my life,
bro.
This was
like, you know, like when your girl wants to hook up two of your friends and you're like, no, don't do that. That's the most toxic male I know, and that's the most toxic female I know. But then you think to yourself, you know what? The former Shuko Hutty, because I kind of just want to see this play out.
You know what? I'm tired of Broadway shows. Yes. I need to see.
I need a different type of entertainment.
I need to see something a little bit more interactive, a bit more direct.
I want to be involved. I want to be part of Exhibit A. And that's exactly what this was. This was like two very toxic fan bases in the way of like they're just going through a lot. You know what I mean? They're in different areas. They're in different eras.
Sure, sure. Every player in Chelsea is in a long-term relationship with their team.
They're getting paid 12% of their contract every year for the next 45 years.
Okay.
You know? And then you got Manchester United, which is just who knows what's happening.
Yeah.
Are you gonna have a new coach or are you gonna have a new roof? You know? Who knows?
First impression of this game were, why is it raining so much? Why are we allowing?
How are you allowed to play in this torrential downpour?
Unbelievable. I guess the draining system at Old Trafford must be fantastic, because the pitch, I think,
you know what? We found one thing working well at Manchester United. This is crazy.
Okay.
The drainage system.
So this is a, and if this was in the U.S., this game would be waterlogged. You could not be able to play a game here.
If it rained like that in the Bronx, there'd still be boats driving up and down, you know, Fordham Hills.
So that
Fordham
was,
Road.
A bit of a shock. But then, obviously, 5 minutes into the game, goalkeeper, or is it Sanchez? Robert Sanchez, right?
He makes such a weird mistake. What a moment to get to try really aggressive.
It is a mistake, and I want to give credit actually. Before that, the guy who wins the header to that and passes the ball to Mbeumo, Benjamin Sesko, bro. We talked about his ups. We talked about the under the leg dunk,
bro. NBA,
NBA
bro.
Hops. He got the NBA hop. And he jumped.
He's at least G League, bro. You know what I mean?
And he jumps. Who did he jump over? I believe it was the goal scorer. I forgot who scored. But he jumps and wins that ball and on perfect pace.
Yeah, perfect
and
weight.
In the path of Mbeumo, all he has to do is take a couple touches. And then, but yeah, Sanchez.
Sanchez runs out, completely clatters into him, takes him out by the legs. And Mbeumo very smartly pushes the ball forward. And is it a red card?
I mean,
yes.
But that's not the question we're going to be asking here.
Judge, allow me to present alternative ideas. Okay, what I'm looking at is the official here. Could you get away with giving Sanchez a yellow? And why I say that is because there was a moment, there was a hesitation before he actually takes the red card out of his pocket. And the way I look at it is, why not allow it to go to VAR and go look at it to at least give yourself, just give me one second. Because even if it stays a red, give yourself the out so that it doesn't feel like you're taking over the match. It doesn't feel like you're making the match about yourself, which is something that nobody wants refs to do. Nobody wants refs to be this influential.
Yeah.
Is it a red? Yes. Could you give a yellow and allow it to go to VAR, go look at it and go, you know what? That's a red. Or not call it, go to VAR and call it a red. And then you almost blame the situation itself. You don't blame the official. And in this moment, it feels like the official kind of got too involved too early.
No, okay. So the only reason I think you're even bringing this up and suggesting that there could have been some sort of mistake is because the red came in the fifth minute. I'm assuming that impact of a game, like who wants to see a team playing with 10 men for, you know, 85 minutes.
The foul calls for a red. But for an official to see that where, I don't know, the rain is crazy. Yeah. You saw they can't even see each other.
That's the thing. A red in the 99th minute, it's a red in the fifth minute.
Yes, yeah, I get it. But yeah. If I'm a ref, I think, you know what? Hey, tell me to go look at the screen. Just so that, you know what I mean? The,
sure.
The vibe of the game.
Yeah, I get
trying
it.
Trying to cover my ass.
I don't want people be mad at me. I'm getting texts from the PGMOL.
But yeah, I'm supposed to go get drinks with some of these players afterwards. And they're not going to want to come with me now.
You got to make it awkward for me?
Yeah, I'm on the list. You know how hard that is?
So, yeah, no, it's a red. There's no, it's just such a ridiculous decision from Sanchez. There's no real.
Yeah, it was really stupid. I mean, it isn't stupid. I get the sense of wanting to stop an attack. And you're about to get scored on. There's just no way around
it.
There's
no excuse for it, yeah.
But you can look at your players who gave up the header, the defender who gave us up the header to Sesko and go, what are you doing? You
know, it was Trevor Chalobah, by the way.
Yeah, Chalobah.
So, again, the stupidity of Robert Sanchez, I think, is dwarfed by Casemiro's stupidity. Again, a messy, rainy game. He gets an early yellow, and then the second one.
He scored a goal, and everyone's like, yo, we never hated Casemiro, bro.
Just like Alexis never spoke ill of Martinelli.
You can't find the tape.
Dude, never said anything negative about Casemiro.
I'm not on the list.
Everybody was like, I love how much he's getting paid. This is why he's getting paid this much.
Bro, at this point, kind of feels like a discount. You know?
You know what? Pay raise.
You getting more.
Yeah, you're getting Casemiro more.
Terrible joke.
No.
But in that moment, you see what Casemiro does, and it's like he has these boneheaded moments that he did not have at Real Madrid. Or can I present you this other evidence?
Oh boy, I can't wait.
Did he just get away with it at Real Madrid?
No.
and he can't get away with it here.
Didn't know Mike Grella was with me on the show, doc.
You know, if he doesn't have that noise, I'm just going to look like an idiot.
Yeah, that is, maybe that's a possibility. Maybe it's, you know, obviously Ramin Djawadi.
You think he's confused? He's like, what are you talking about, buddy? Are you just going to win it the whole time?
Maybe it's style of play, maintain the level of possession that Real Madrid had, his role. He didn't have to do the things that he currently does at Real Madrid. I mean, they're asking much more of him, and he's just at a place in his career where you look bad in the Premier League. And some people say like that the second yellow wasn't deserved. I completely disagree. It's like, it's one of those things of the ref knows you have a yellow. You know you have a yellow.
Maybe you could argue, I don't remember the first yellow. Maybe you could argue that. There is
tackle on Enzo Fernandez. He
you
got
can
like
literally draw it for me and I won't remember it. But I, there's no way you look at that second yellow and just say, that's not just, it's a yellow every day of the week. It's yellow. That is a yellow tag. Why are you doing that? He's holding on to the defender. He's throwing him to the ground.
And it wasn't like super aggressive, but it was, he stopped the promising attack. He did get the ball, but what do you, of course you're going to get the ball if you're pulling the dude from
and you
behind.
Know, like if you like just grab a player's shoulder, they'll be like, there was none of that. You literally were holding on to this man's chest, whipping him backwards. He landed on top of you.
It was like a
It's hard to say you didn't foul him when he landed.
You know, when you hug somebody from behind to give him like a warm embrace, like that's kind
of how we say hello to each other. Time I walk into the studio.
Dumb. But as soon as he got that red, I was like, that's it. United losing this game. I mean, one red card is basically two for them, right? Like,
can I tell you the moment I knew that even if Manchester United would have gotten two reds, they wouldn't have lost this game?
When is that?
The moment Enzo Maresca, whose wife I told he was a good coach.
Yes, you did say that. Yes, in a public setting, either way.
Everyone uncomfortable, including his children.
He didn't just whisper it.
The moment he took Cole Palmer out.
Oh, wait, no. Well, Cole Palmer was injured. Yes.
He wasn't injured.
He was injured. Yeah, he left.
No, he was frustrated at being subbed out.
No.
I don't remember him being injured at all.
I thought it was an injury.
No, he got subbed out for to make it more defensive.
We couldn't hear the broadcast because we were like doing a bunch of other stuff.
No, look, he's not injured at all.
He left in the 21st minute. There's no real reason why he would have.
Because they wanted to re-jigger the team, the lineup.
No, because
Correct me if I'm wrong.
I remember Robbie Musto saying not fully fit or something like that when I was listening. I caught him say that. So I'm
all right, well, then I take everything I'm said back. You know what? I don't take back what I said to his wife. Me and his wife had a lovely conversation. I basically tried to riz him up through his wife.
So he's like, can you give him my number? Can you give him just God?
What room is Alan Shearer?
Me and his Zombraska doing that.
No, but after the Casemiro red card, it was just like, they won the game, but it's still like, guys, figure this out, man. This is like getting ridiculous.
Can I tell you something that really upsets me? Is that, all right, you know, football is a global sport now. Premier League probably has the most eyes on it across any other global league. Why don't these coaches know that? Why don't these coaches know that narratives are sometimes just as important as 3 points? Put Garnacho in.
Oh, that's what you got.
Man.
What are you doing, Enzo?
Enzo, we trying to sell some tickets.
Bro.
How many people you want to see get laid off at Old Trafford?
This is, you know, this is like, if you're watching some HBO drama, you don't make this move. This
if
is what
you were
do.
The producer of The Real Housewives of Chelsea, London, you'd say, hey, I know you do get along, but just for the camera.
Well,
her a bitch.
I mean, when Garnacho was put on screen at the Fan Fest, man, the boos were
visceral.
I was like, why is this so loud? I mean, like, he was
his coach told him he didn't want him no more.
Exactly, he just like wasn't that good, and maybe he was young, and maybe made a couple like bad decisions. I guess I don't know, maybe locker room stuff. But bro, it was
the
like,
United fans have a chant that call him like a money grubbing W word that rhymes with more.
Okay,
you know.
Well, yeah. So that was strange, but it would have been quite entertaining.
That would have been the moment if Garnacho comes in and scores the match equalizer, even at Old Trafford.
Yeah,
the place where he was told he wasn't wanted.
scenes, bro. That's the first thing we talked about at the end.
They were trying there. And then let's just wrap up this segment with the Merseyside derby. Liverpool.
I'll take a break here. Yeah, go for it.
Liverpool went 2-1. I mean, there's not too much to say outside of, like, it is, you know, Everton's first time with this new squad at Anfield. And Liverpool, especially, they just had who they play in Champions League that had the late winner. I forget who they played. But this is just the streak that Liverpool are on. We just talked about it in the last episode. Like, how long can they keep getting away with this? Well, one more game. Yeah, they got away with it one more game.
Is it Atletico Madrid?
I believe. So I think a lot of people were kind of just, we were talking to Graham Stewart, Everton legend, before, and he was like, we were asking him, like, oh, how do you think they're going to do?
He's like,
first 15 minutes, all you got to do is just
hold on. We can handle that. I think we'll be fine. Guess what they couldn't handle? That.
Right. Give it up an early goal, 10 minutes to grabbing Birch.
But I watched, this is one of the games that I watched with Jermaine Defoe and Alan Shearer. And it's so weird when they have the same thoughts I do, because they're pros. You think they see the game differently. But all of us, all we kept talking about was just the runs Hugo Ekitike makes.
Yeah, it's very good.
What? Why do you even need Isak, bro?
It's just like you spent all this money and you really got like a great striker, but...
It's crazy. It's like having two minivans. Like, you only have one family, right, bro. Right. So this don't make sense.
So the rich go the spoils. Yeah, Liverpool are going to be very, very dangerous going forward, especially once Alexander Isak gets gets his feet under him and gets settled at Liverpool, yeah. And Everton did, I think, what they could. They had a good second half.
Mm-hmm.
Couldn't find the second goal, but...
Everton played well. Everton showed well, but this was
first clearly... 30 minutes, yeah. Were not good enough. And every Everton fan I spoke to and every Everton former player pretty much said the same thing, but...
What's the weight on Brathwaite?
I think October.
Or is it Braithwaite?
Brathwaite. So that was my issue with, like... Michael Keane, I've not said this a bunch of times, you know, the way Alexis speaks about Martinelli, you know, I might speak about Michael Keane the same way.
You love?
I love everything he said. He scored some incredibly important goals, but as a defender, there's just too many, like, too many issues, too many lapses in judgment. And again, the runs from Graham Birch and from Ekitike, especially Ekitike, was just a pretty much a flawless run, but it's getting in behind Michael Keane, and Tarkowski is like, all right, let me get back there and try to, stop this sort of promising attack, and then ends up getting burned. So, but a good game, and that was the first game of the Fan Fest. So to open it up with the Merseyside derby, and you know, shout out again to all the Everton fans mm-hmm. who are showing love, even Liverpool fans showing love as well.
That set the stage for a wonderful weekend, man. What a way to open it up.
It was incredible. So even though the Everton lost still 7 points so far in the season over 5 games, I ain't worried. We good.
Were you there when they said that the Premier League is deducting 10 points from them for losing against Liverpool?
Yes, sir. Rebecca Lowe and I announced that.
Damn.
Yeah, can't really do that. All right. Let's take a quick break, and we'll talk a little bit about NWSL and our time at the Kansas City Kermit.
Welcome back to the Cooligans, Christian. Let's talk a little bit about our time going to CBKC Stadium to watch Kansas City Current against Seattle Reign.
Yes.
In what would be a title clinching match.
Yes, they won the NWSL Shield presented by CarMax.
I love the whole name.
You gotta
bro.
Say the whole thing. The full government, bro.
They're a royal. Okay, so you have to say the middle name, the suffix, and the prefix.
It's hilarious because like the homie Sebastian Salazar was doing the trophy presentation, and every moment he mentioned the Shield, he had to say presented by CarMax.
Yeah, dude. So, look, some respect.
I believe we're giving CarMax such, you know, free publicity.
Yeah.
But
why they did it.
Yeah, they did, because you're not allowed to say anything without
saying. They knock on your door, bro. They actually take your car from you.
Obviously we're doing the Fan Fest and everything, but on Saturday, the Kansas City Current are playing and Sporting Kansas City. You're playing in the same day, like an hour apart.
Sporting Kansas City playing too late for us.
Yeah.
You got to go to bed.
early. Very early. So we were like, all right, let's go to CPKC Stadium.
And also, we'd never been, and it was would have been an exciting moment to go check it out. And what a beautiful
stadium. Yeah, thank you. We actually did get invited to the Sporting Kansas City game by the supporters, the KC Cauldron. Thank you so much for the invitation. But yeah, we obviously, it would have been impossible because we would have not woken up for the Fan Fest, and it would have caused a lot of
Also, you're not playing really well right now. But we really want to go through there.
And you lost as well. But I've heard Jersey Mercy Park was still sold out. And
yeah,
still
of very course. Cool. Great support.
We go to see the Kansas City Current, and it was the game was great. They ended up winning 2-0. So we go see the game. Dabinya scores a penalty, and Tamu Shawinga scores a header on a scrappy kind of a wild play. But getting to see it's the first. It's the first women's soccer stadium in the country, right?
The first, yeah, official
soccer stadium. Yeah. So, and you feel it in Kansas City when you're just even walking around. Like, the team is very important to the city.
Yeah, we would make the announcement on stage. You know, sometimes there's fans of all different soccer teams, so you want to bring them together. You could say Kansas City Chiefs, they all call crazy. You could say Rock Chalk or Mizzou, and they kind of boo, but for the most part, they're kind of having a good time. If you say Sporting Kansas City, you get a pop.
Yeah.
But if you say KC Current,
yeah,
you get a big pop, and that's kind of really cool because you're looking at it. It's not like it's just a bunch of women wearing the kits or no, it's like both parents, children, everyone, dudes, women, everyone, and in between, everyone's wearing Kansas City Current. It's the most common. I saw that way more than I saw Sporting Kansas City, and that's not disrespect to Sporting Kansas City because it was a lot of Sporting Kansas City. I'm just saying there was a ton of KC Current, and that just goes to show how incredible they've done in this market.
Yeah, I loved it. We were sitting next to the supporter section. I don't know what the dude's name is, but the guy that wears the blue, teal face, and the glittery red beard, so we weren't far from him. So it was just like, it's one of the things of like, man, I'm glad I got to see. I see him on TV all the time, and seeing him in the supporter section.
They got cool chants, but there was also a moment where we were sitting over by the corner flag, maybe four or five rows up, and Lola Bonta starts stretching.
Yeah.
So me and Christian are like, oh, that's our friend.
That's the homie.
It's not even like, oh, that's a player we know. This is our friend, okay? So we're like, how do we get their attention without disrupting them at their job?
Yeah.
They're at work. So Christian, would you mind showing the people
what
you were doing?
So Lola Bonta is probably, at the closest, she's probably like, I don't know, 20 feet.
I was going to say 25.
25 feet away from us. But warming up with the bench and everybody, and I go, low, low.
At one point, he went low,
low. Which I'm trying to get her attention without making a big ruckus or scene for the rest of the people watching.
And you, but even if my name was low, that sound wouldn't have shook me to be like someone speaking to me. It sounds like someone making noises.
Yeah.
So I said, let me show you that stuff.
It was embarrassing.
And then I said, hey, yo, low. And everybody
in our section, in the other section of the corner,
except low.
Everybody but low turns around.
Security. Players on the pitch. Everybody looked at me.
Lola Bonta, I've learned this very quickly, is so locked into a game,
bro.
And I would say, you know how when you're playing in the midfield and you check your shoulder because you want to see who's behind you. She, when she's on the bench, she is. Or even she's warming up. She's doing her stretches. Boom. Stretch, boom. Boom.
Who that? Don't know.
No, who's that?
Out my way.
Watching the game. Yeah. Stretching, watching it. Every 3 seconds, she is turning to watch what her teammates are doing.
It's absolutely incredible.
Could not get her attention
she
at all.
She don't hear the crowd doesn't... at all.
Bro,
you ain't in my purview, dog.
Tunnel vision. Solely focused on
me and
the
my
man.
Soldiers. That's all I'm thinking about right now.
And that's the thing, is that there were other players that were, like, some people were calling the name or just, like, trying to get their attention. And they'll be like, oh, wait.
You know what made me confident that she'd see us is there was Long is her name. She's a striker. Mary Long?
I don't know her name.
I believe her name is Long. She's local player. I think she's a rookie this season. But she was running, and someone yelled her name. And she looked up, family member or friend, and she waved. And I said, well, Mary Long could do that. Then clearly Lola Bonta is going to look up and see her two friends. She might run into the stand.
Right.
It didn't happen. She's best show, honestly. She ran past me. I go, low, low. I'm screaming. I don't even want to scream right now because I'm in a hotel room. Yo, the dude in front of us turns around laughing. He's like, yo, you definitely from New York, bro. He was laughing so hard, him and his lady. And low.
No, we could not. Literally could not get
it. I told low we were there yelling her name, she would have been like, I didn't even know there was a crowd. Honestly, I had no clue.
I was concerned that the seats were empty at the stadium.
He's like, I called Roger nervous that the club might not survive. Sold out. We've never sold a ticket before in our lives.
Yeah, so that was great. And then she entered the game. And there was no opportunity to get her attention.
One of my favorite things she did, I know we're going a little long, but a player had gotten injured. I believe it was Sharples.
Okay.
She had a bit of an injury. She landed on the floor. Lowe went over, and like other players were concerned and went over, and she got them, hey, get out of here, go get hydrated or whatever. And she told like other players, like, go do this and go do that. And she was like running the scene, you know, like a head EMT.
Sure.
You know, like she was like the captain on the pitch at that moment to help the player while the physio was working on her. And it was like very, somewhat motherly, if you will.
Okay.
Also, you know, that moment was like, you ever go to your ma? Ma, and she's like, in the middle of the supermarket, ma, that's low. Low locked in. She's like, I don't hear my kid.
Yeah. I mean, also, there was no Sharples is not on Kansas City. I forgot what it was, either Haley Mace, there was another injury. I forgot who it was, but
was it Sharples?
No. Barnes, Lauren Barnes or something. I forgot who it was. But anyway.
All right, well, my bad if I made
no, mistake. No, all good. But yeah. So, and then they lifted the WSL shield, which was really
cool. I left
cool.
That you left. That was falling asleep.
I left falling asleep. But I stayed for that. And the trophy presentation was fun because Jessica Berman, WSL commissioner, did the trophy presentation.
And boy, do people love her.
And we all remember what happened with the game where it was over, you know, it was too hot.
Yeah.
And it was postponed for several hours.
So they made it hot for her.
That was in Kansas City. Yeah. Allegedly, the report saying that she threatened a fine if the game was not played because it was airing on CBS. It was a whole thing. And the supporters, Casey Curran supporters, let her know. So as soon as he got onto the mic, Sebastian Salazar said, oh, yeah, here's the NWSL commissioner Jessica Berman to, give the award. And the boos were raining strong. It's just like there's something to, you know, NWSL commissioners get booed. We understand.
Every commissioner gets
booed. Commissioners get booed in a lot of sports, but I think there's something to this. Maybe this isn't necessarily a fair assumption from with women's sports. They tend to be a stronger sense of unity because, like, we're all trying to keep the sport alive and keep the league alive and stuff like that. But when people do wrong, there's something where you think, oh, in women's sports, they wouldn't boo the commissioner because they're all trying to, it's all rising tide lifts up. No.
You're wrong, son.
The boos were very, very loud. I thought Jessica Berman handled it as well as possible.
She had grace.
She sort of acknowledged that she was being booed without saying anything in a mean tone and stuff like that. So it kept the trophy presentation kind of like just at least going in a cordial way. But yeah, it's definitely something that has to be kind of addressed and sorted out because people are still quite upset, especially when it comes to player safety.
Hey, you buy a ticket, you can let them know how you feel.
So, yeah, I mean, it was great to see the celebration. And then one of the cool things that I really wanted to make sure, why I wanted to go, is because of the press box, the Grant Wall press box.
So we didn't know we'd be able to get in the press box, which is one of the reasons why I left. But I'm glad that at least we got to see.
So I go, you got to take a photo with it. Obviously, Grant Wall, a dear, dear friend of us, friend of the show, and an important figure in sports and soccer, to a lot of people. So that was just a really cool thing. So shout out to Casey Curran. It was a really great thing that we just got to do. I'm glad it was like just a part of this trip because we've had so many awesome things with Premier League related stuff and meeting all these people. But and we also got, and Roger Espinoza was part of the broadcast for the Premier League.
He knew who we were. Of course he knows who we are, but it was cool for him. Like, hey, what's up?
Hey, it was dope. He was like, oh yeah, I see these guys all the time. So I'm like, you know what? We're on Roger Espinosa's FYP, bro.
Yeah, bro. So he's swiping, then he stops when it's one of us.
So you love to see it, man. So so shout out to everybody at Casey Curran and the NWSL Shield Champions presented by CarMax. So good for them. All right, let's wrap up there, everybody. Thanks so much for tuning in to another episode of the Cooligans. Hopefully our sultry voices kept you comfortable. But yeah, this fan fest has been,
hopefully we made sense.
Yeah. This fan fest has been one of our favorites. Really, really dope. Just again, Kansas City, incredibly loud. Thank you for all the love to everybody. There might be some new listeners.
Yeah, if you're listening or watching it based on having seen us up on stage, hit that like button. Hit that like and subscribe and put in the comments. Put in the comments that you were at Fan Fest. We'd love to see it.
Let us know. All right. So we appreciate y'all. Thank you everybody for tuning in. Make sure you like this video, subscribe, like Alexa said. Make sure you follow
subscribe.
Us
right over
on all socials at Soccer Cooligans. Hit us up on Instagram, Blue Sky, wherever. Okay, mm-hmm. We're at the TikTok. You know how it is.
TikTok.
We're doing all the great dances on there. You're gonna love it. So we'll see you back in New York on mm-hmm. Thursday. We have there's obviously a big weekend in MLS coming up this upcoming weekend. So we'll talk about all of that. And all right, we'll see you in a few days, everybody. Peace. Thank you.
Love you guys.